I've done it. This show is part of the Kobold Broadcast Network.
Bloody kobolds. This show is part of the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbncom.com.
I'm Ryan Macklin from Master Plan. Many have tried to read it, but the wisest know to listen to the tome.
Welcome to the tome, episode 21, and I am your host, Jeff Greiner. The tome is a D&D news and review podcast, and in this episode, we will be hacking our way through the jungles of Dungeon and Dragon magazine. Welcome again to episode 21 of the tome, Dungeon and Dragon Magazine. We're winding down the new episodes of, or new issues, I should say, of Dungeon Magazine and Dragon Magazine here. Only a few more left to go, and so we're going to keep our coverage consistent. Now, I am aware that this episode is about 2 weeks later than I probably intended to. In fairness, I took a week off, and a friend of mine had a death in the family, and you know, life basically took over. But I am getting it out here. I am aware that the next episode or issue of Dragon is already out. I'm going to get that out to you soon. In the next episode, I've got an interview for you from Ari Marmel, who is an author of D&D books, a freelance author. And I've got another interview that I've just recently completed from Eitan Bernstein that you're going to get to hear shortly. That will be paired up very closely with the episode looking at Dragons of Faerun, which I've been promising for a long time. So a lot of exciting things going on lately. Plus, of course, there's the very, very exciting fact that the Tome Summer Contest 2007 is still going on. There's still time left to get your entry in to the Tome Summer Contest for 2007. I've got several very good submissions. I've talked to several people that are working on certain things for the show. And there are some fabulous prizes for those of you who get something in. The goal here is to have fun, promote the show, and help make the Tome a better podcast for everyone. You can enter by creating something for the Tome, put together a promo or a bumper saying, like, this is Jim and you're listening to the Tome or whatever. A new stinger sound, like that I like the page-turning sound that I put in between chapters and articles, or something to introduce Tome news or D&D news or feedback, reviews, a conclusion sound, whatever you're interested in putting together. New opening or closing music for the show, a new logo design, new banner to help promote the show, send in an audio comment, send in a recorded or written guest review for the show of any D20 product. So make something for the show. If you've got something in mind that's not on that list, let me know what it is, and we can probably make it work. Honestly, if you make something for the show, you get entered into the contest. You can also get entered into the contest by helping promote the show. Play the promo on your podcast if you're a podcaster. Link to the show or add a banner on your blog, website, MySpace, Facebook, that kind of thing. And just email me a link to the page so that I can go and verify that it's actually been done. Each time you do one of these things, your name is placed into a drawing, and you can win one of three awesome prize packages. Prizes are being sponsored by Sword's Edge Publishing, a wonderful PDF publishing company, who are providing free downloads of PDF books. GeekLabel.com, who are providing two $30 gift certificates for their online store, where they sell geek apparel, geek clothes, t-shirts, and all kinds of really, really cool stuff. High quality. I've got some of their things, and it is really high quality stuff. Mayhem Comics, who have provided us with Drow of the Underdark and a box set of the core books for D&D. And Green Ronin, who has supplied just a huge stack of really cool D20 products, some Mutants and Mastermind stuff, some Bleeding Edge Adventures, all kinds of really cool stuff given to us by Green Ronin. If you want more information about this, head on over to the website, which is www.thetomeshow.com, and click on the link that says contest, and you'll have all kinds of information about what you might win and how the contest works. Get your submissions in by emailing thetomeshow@gmail.com. And this contest has been going really well, and I am very excited to see what comes up by the end of July, which is when the contest ends. Winners will be announced in the first episode of August. So get on it, and let's get some free books out there to you guys. In other quick short news, I've been contemplating some format changing for the show. And I know I recently did a little bit of a format change when I moved feedback from the beginning of the show to the end. Some of the things that I've heard from talking to people, both online and through podcasts, and specifically for this show and for just people that I know in locally, is that it might be better to get a show off to the meat of the show earlier and quicker. Don't waste a lot of time at the beginning talking about other stuff and going through news and all that kind of stuff. In the case of this show, it would mean getting right down into the review as quickly as possible. And I'm toying with some different ways to handle that, and I've started a thread over at the forum to sort of help me figure out what you guys want to see. So I would encourage all of you to head over to the forum. Again, go to www.thetomeshow.com and click on the link that says forum and give me some feedback about what you want to see as far as the format of this show. I'm basically thinking of either moving all the news and stuff to the end and putting the review at the beginning, or I'm also thinking maybe about doing more shows but making them short shows, getting everything down to about 20, 30 minutes like it used to be, and just doing a bunch of quick little 20 to 30 minute shows, but getting them out to you more regularly. So head on over there and let me know what you think about that. I'm going to skip over the news for now for this episode because, like usual, we've got two reviews in this one. We've got Dungeon and Dragon magazines. So I'm going to skip past the news because you're going to get some news by looking at at Dragon magazine anyway. And then I'll include some of the news that I've highlighted for the show and that I've found out there for you guys to, in the next episode. So let's go ahead and jump right into the review. Here is my review of Dragon Magazine, issue 357 for July 2007. Like usual, I'll start with the first watch section, which deals with previews, notes, news, that kind of stuff. Reported by Shelley Bauer, William Christensen, and Mike L. Fiegel. The new releases that they announce are the Monster Manual 5, because there can never be enough Monster Manuals. The Forgotten Realms adventure Shadowdale, which is the sequel to, well, sort of the sequel to the adventure Cormyr, and sort of the second in the series that leads up to Anorak. They're not necessarily a constant story, as I understand it, but they have very strong links that sort of affect each other and lead to each other. Other bits of information that looks interesting here: a new set for D&D miniatures called Night Below. Looks like it has some pretty wicked creatures, some demons and that kind of stuff. A little white dragon in there. They have a little blurb about a new RPG game called Scion from White Wolf, which is where you play the child of a god whose role it is to defend humanity from these legendary titan creatures. That sounds interesting. The Song of Fire and Ice RPG, which has gone sort of back and forth and back and forth, is once again in the hands of Green Ronin Publishing, one of the excellent sponsors of our Summer 2007 contest. And it is slated to be released next year, 2008. So look forward to that, the George R.R. Martin fans. There's a segment that talks about the Innies. The Innies, for those of you who don't know, is a ceremony that happens at Gen Con every year. It'll be at Gen Con Indy. And it gives basically awards to tabletop RPG game industry people. They've got five judges that were picked by the fans. They've got products in all the categories, and they've got new categories, including podcast, software, miniatures, and some others. And then lastly, there's some exciting little bits of information here about a new e-zine called Kobold Quarterly. Now, normally, I'm not a big fan of the e-zine scene, I guess you would say. But this e-zine is being done by Wolfgang Bauer. Like I said, it's called Kobold Quarterly. As he explains, we're a tiny little reptile instead of a mighty dragon. We have excellent ambush skills. The idea is that you've got this small little quarterly online magazine that covers D&D sort of the way that Dragon and Dungeon, especially Dragon, have in the past. And they'll have some DMing advice, they'll have player advice, design tips, interviews with designers, all kinds of neat stuff going on Kobold Quarterly. It's only 4 times a month. The subscription, as I recall, is only $12. You get 4 issues delivered right to your inbox. Again, normally I'm not a big fan of magazines in electronic format, but in this case, especially with Dragon going away, picking up Kobold Quarterly seems like a really good deal. So I've already purchased my subscription to it. And I believe the first issue is supposed to come out later this month. They've got a little review of a video game called Blue Dragon, which looks interesting-ish. And then we get into the meat of the magazine. The first article, we get back into one of my favorite series of articles, The Demonomicon of Yggwilliv. And this one is Demogorgon, Prince of Demons. And on a side note, Kobold Quarterly that I mentioned earlier is supposed to continue on a series very similar to this. But anyway, Demogorgon, Prince of Demons, by James Jacobs, illustrated by Andrew Howe. And the opening artwork for this is actually really cool. I really like it's got Demogorgon in the middle and all kinds of different demons sort of clambering up out of the sea and onto this rock that he's on and flying through the sky towards him. And it's got a lot of different demons in it with Demogorgon in the center. And apparently they liked it so much that they touched up the color a little bit and put it on the cover too. So this image shows up at least twice in the magazine already. So you've got Demogorgon, Prince of Demons. I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't the last one of these that we see. In Dungeon anyway, or in Dragon anyway. Just because we're now dealing with Demogorgon, and it doesn't get much higher than that. They've got a brand new, more powerful version of Demogorgon than what you've seen in some of the books. The statistics for him in the magazine are CR33, which is much more appropriate for the massively powerful Demogorgon. It explains a lot of what Demogorgon's all about, what his goals are, and what he's trying to accomplish. And how his cult works. It gives you a prestige class, which is the Thrall of Demogorgon. And it talks a little bit about his minions. And the kinds of creatures that serve him. And his realm. His layer of hell. Or his layer of the abyss. The 88th layer. And some of the unique creatures that dwell there. The next article is called Feathers and Fur, A Guide to Flying and Fanged Animal Companions by Hal McLean, illustrated by Jason Engel. So this article is all about how to work with your animal companions, you know, whether you're a druid or a ranger or whatever. This is a way to sort of get your animal companions to be able to do even more. They include a whole bunch of new tricks that you might teach beyond what is in the player's handbook under handle animal skill. They've got new tricks that you can teach your animal companions, such as bomb, circle, deliver, disarm, harass, herd, identify scent, silence. They've got new equipment, bells, collar, dog whistles, falconer glove, falconer's hood, foot firm boots, lure, a perch saddle, perch shoulder, perch stand, rawhide, training arm, talon tube. And then they've got some animal alchemy items. Bird bomb, dog smoke, hound snuff, mad foam, silent bells. And then they've got some new features, some new feats here that you can pick up that will help you work with a trained animal. You've got like bonded, double team, protective talons, screen. So some ways that you can take your animal companions and make them even closer connected and more of a partner to your naturistic sort of character. They've got some new creatures that might fit into something you might use as an animal companion. You've got the Caustic Creeper, which is a sort of naturistic dog thing that they explain was created over hundreds of years by green dragons. You've got the Rock Hound, which is sort of a earthy, stony dog creature. You've got the Shade Striker and the Shimmer Wing, which are sort of a darkness and a light infused hunting birds. And that finishes up that article. The next article is Defiled Monsters, Nature's Revenge by Nicholas Quimby, illustrated by Eric Deschamps. And in this one, you're basically getting new monsters, new creatures. The first one is Beast Wrath. I take that back. The first one is Beast Wraith, which makes more sense. These are the angry spirits of animals when they're killed in mass numbers, whether it's hunting or fires or some sort of horrible thing. A beast wraith might be formed to seek vengeance or whatever. Generally not real nice creatures. You've got the Blood Lance, which is sort of a unicornish looking thing, only instead of your golden horn, it's got a blood red horn with this blood coming down its snout and its bright red eyes. They're not actually evil. They're chaotic neutral. And they're created when unicorns are subdued and their horns are taken, but the unicorn is not actually killed. Then they might become this blood lance creature and lose some of their goodness as a result. You've got the Deadwood Revenant, which is sort of your evil dryad. It explains when a dryad's sacred oak is destroyed, then a Deadwood Revenant is a ghost-like creature that might arise to seek vengeance. And those are the new creatures. The next article is Arcane Botanica, Saplings, Sprouts, Spells, and Seeds by Scott Noel, illustrated by Julie Dillon. And this one is all about dealing with magical plants, right? You've got some examples of plants that come from other planes, some examples of special plants that you might get as items or find and be able to use as components and that kind of thing for spell casting. And I'm not going to go through each and every one of them because there's a rather long list. That's most of what's in here is those two things. And it's what, 5-6 pages of just listing different plants that you might run into that could be used as components or items or what have you. The next article is Ecology of the Titan in the Great Great Ecology series by Nicholas Logue, illustrated by Peter Bergting. And the Titan is those massive, huge, godlike creatures that run around with all kinds of power, loosely based on the ancient Greek mythology. And so you've got some history of Titans, physiology, society, psychology, how to advance one and make them more powerful. They specifically give you the example of Cronus, who's an advanced Titan barbarian legendary dreadnought with a CR of 56. So not something you want to scoff at. It's a relatively short article for an ecology article, but I look forward to delving into that one in a little more depth. Not something you're going to be using a lot unless you're using and playing an epic campaign. Next up is our Savage Tidings article, Gazing into the Abyss by Eric L. Boyd, illustrated by Ben Wooten. Because Ben Wooten illustrates all of the Savage Tidings stuff, as I understand it. And first of all, we get some information about pact magic and how you might have some specific pact magic that plays a role into this storyline, which, as I recall, is something from a concept from the Tome of Magic. Does it say here? I don't see it anywhere, but I believe that's a Tome of Magic idea, the whole pact magic concept and different creatures that you form packs with. Yeah, there it is, Tome of Magic. Good. But it also talks a little bit about different entities that you might run into with conjuration and planar ally and binding spells and that kind of stuff, but a lot of it deals with that pact magic. You get a couple new creatures that you can pact with. You get some information about demonic harlots, which are just demons that are so used to being summoned by people on the prime plane that they're known as harlots, because they've got regular rates in exchange for services, and they basically they're summoned so often that they've decided, as long as I'm going to be summoned, here's what I'm going to charge, here's what I'm going to accept, you know, and here's what I'm not. So it makes it a little bit easier if you know who they are, summon them, to deal with them as far as a planar binding and that kind of stuff goes, which can sometimes be a little tricky. And then some more information about what do you know specifically about the Abyss, because later on in Savage Tidings, we deal a lot with the Abyss, apparently. I haven't gotten there in my own game, but apparently that's where we're headed. Next up is Volo's Guide, Renegades of Darkhold, by George Krashos, with special introduction by Ed Greenwood, as usual, illustrated by Julie Dillon. And you get a little bit of information here about Darkhold, which is I guess you could call it a castle in the Forgotten Realms. And it gives a lot of history of Samemon, which is the person who rules the Zintarim for a long time. So you get a lot of information about him. You get new stats for him. He's a CR-19 wizard and has had a history of ruling the Zintarim. You've got information about Eshemi, who is an enemy of the Zintarim, hates the Zintarim, and is actively working against them. And then you get the next article, Eberron, Dragonmark, Spell Sovereign, by Tim Hitchcock, introduction by Keith Baker, illustrated by James Zong. And basically, you get a lot of information about a new prestige class called the Spell Sovereign, which looks really interesting. It uses the concept of the Living Spell, which is a template from the Eberron campaign setting, and also from Monster Manual 3. And Spell Sovereigns summon living spells and bind them, and basically learn how to create living spells and have them as familiars, and can pull off all kinds of interesting things and summon new ones and do all kinds of interesting things with these living spells. So that's a really interesting thing to look at. Currently in the Eberron campaign that I'm playing, I'm playing a monk. But if he ever dies, I might have the DM take a look at this, because this looks like a really interesting concept. Not your standard everyday prestige class. An interesting new little spin on it. The Sage Advice by Andy Collins and illustrated by Andrew Howe this time around looks at questions related to feats and skills, different tricks you can pull off with skills. And then we get into the Class Act section. First we have Adventurer, which is called Dirty Priests, Holy Thieves, by Scott L. Gable, illustrated by James Zong. And you get some new feats and you get some skill tricks that you can use when you are playing a holy rogue. If you're a rogue, scoundrel, bard, whatever, but you've got some connection, I guess, to something holy, then these might be some interesting things for you. You've got the Elemental Stalker, you've got Sacred Outlaw, Sacred Performer, Swift Avenger. For the skill tricks, you've got Critical Observation, Distracting Taunt, Ecstatic Fervor, Insightful Improvisation, Rhetorical Flourish. Which could be interesting to flesh out. A lot of people that play rogues or bards or whatever don't focus a lot on what they might think about the gods. And so that's an interesting thing to think of, and a way to put that spin onto your character with some new ideas there. The next one is Arcane, called Transversed Arcana, by Rick Miller, illustrated by James Zong. And this one uses the variant class feature rules that were put in the Player's Handbook 2. You've got Aligned Spellcaster. Instead of a familiar, you get to use this to make your spells automatically either good or evil. Beleaguered Spellcaster also replaces familiar, that every time you're seriously injured, you get to cast your next spell automatically as a maximized spell. There's Disciple of Bacab, which of course you could probably change if Bacab's not in your game. Again, replace your familiar, and your item creation feats act as if you were a level higher. There's the Eidetic Spellcaster, again replaces familiar, or Scribe Scroll in this case. And it basically says you don't need to have a spell book, either to record spells or to know or prepare spells. You can learn them normally, but basically you have perfect memory. You can remember your entire spell book in your head, you just need to prepare them every day. Which, honestly, that's hefty power and or ability, and might, in my opinion, be a little bit overpowered, but I don't know. Impromptu Metamagic, once again, replaces familiar and allows you to attach a metamagic feat to a spell that you'd prepared without having prepared the metamagic feat only a certain number of times a day. And then School Mastery, once again, replaces familiar, and it gives you some bonuses not only to your caster level for a chosen school, but it gives you different bonuses depending on what school you focus on. For example, an extra point of damage for evocation spells, that kind of thing. Divine. This one is Plant Companions by Hal McLean, illustrated by James Zong. And it essentially gives you a method of creating an animal companion that isn't an animal, that's a plant. It gives you a base plant companion that's CR1, and then gives you some abilities that they can sort of pick up over time as they get more powerful and older and all that kind of stuff, and as you advance them. So that's interesting if you want to make a plant instead of an animal companion. The next one, Warrior, Monk Guide by Amber E. Scott, illustrated by James Zong. Amber E. Scott, once again, gives us a great cheat sheet, this time on monks. So if you're playing a monk, or if you've got somebody in your game that's new to the game, doesn't quite know how it's all going to work, hand them this photocopied front and back and say, here's some hints on how to play a good monk. And then we get into the dwindling realm of comics. And because of its sense of nostalgia, I'm going to give Funniest Comic of the Issue to Order of the Stick. It ties directly into what's happening with the magazine these days, and I think it is hilarious. So there's Dragon Magazine, issue 357. Definitely themed into the wilderness and nature-y sort of stuff going on, with the one article focused on Demogorgon thrown in there for good measure, which was apparently so cool they gave it the cover, even though the entire rest of the magazine is about something else. All in all, good issue. Lots of interesting information. They're definitely not going out with a whimper. This is as good as any magazine that I've seen. It's not soaring as awesome. It's not falling apart as a horrible issue. This is exactly the standard of quality that I've come to expect from Dragon Magazine, and it's high, and it's good, and it's the reason that I've had a subscription to Dragon Magazine even during the years when I didn't have a gaming group. So, check it out. Dragon Magazine, issue 357.
Are you a procrastinator? Have you been thinking, well, I've heard good things about the Podio Book series, Heaven and Hell, but I've got other stuff to listen to. Well, hey, don't take my word for it. I just write the dang thing.
This is Steve Ealy with Escape Pod. I didn't listen to Heaven at first, because George Robb told me it must be really boring. Then one day my wife and I heard it on a road trip. He was wrong. Heaven wasn't boring. It had gods and sex and swords and action and several different answers to life. We loved it so much, right now we're going through hell, and we can't wait to get down to Earth.
Season 3 of Heaven is dropping June 23rd at patiobooks.com. And if you haven't listened to Heaven or Hell yet, they're still available at patiobooks.com. They're all three ready for you. Now what are you waiting for?
The Dungeon Magazine this time around, William Paul, the normal Dungeon Magazine reviewer, was unable to get some things recorded for us just simply because real life sort of got in the way. Hopefully this won't be a big problem for the next couple of reviews, and he can finish off Dungeon Magazine for us in the way that we've come to love. But he did send me the review. So let me read you his review of the latest Dungeon Magazine for July 2007. And you can still get your information that way. You'll just get it. It's from William, but it's through being channeled through me using my mystical, magical powers of reading. I guess that's a mystical, magical-ish power for people who can't read. Dungeon Magazine, issue 148 for July 2007. It hit the newsstands on 6/13/07. And here's what he has to say. Starting the review in the back of the magazine, we begin with Dungeon Craft, Temptations and Dilemmas by Wolfgang Bauer, with illustration by Kyle Hunter. This article describes things that can be added to your game that should be able to provide rich roleplay experiences. PCs are always making decisions for one thing or another, but there are times when there are times in which decisions they make could have dire consequences on the campaign. Dilemmas are situations that with no right way out. The PCs would have to choose between the lesser of two evils. Temptations are offers of something to that the PCs really want, but at what cost? Sure, the asking price might seem innocent right now, but there's always dire repercussions. The article provides methods and examples of how best to use these in your campaign, and a campaign that, if properly used, will be a memorable one. Next, we have the campaign workbook. This month, we have The Journey and the Monster. Under The Journey, we have Listening Posts by Stefan Hopp and illustrated by Kyle Hunter, a synopsis of what one would expect from a secret border keep, a spy hideout, a resource depot. The article provides enough info to develop some plot hooks and the stats of a few NPCs and a trap, but really didn't grab my interest. What did grab my interest is the second installment of this month's campaign workbook, Webbered, by B. Matt Conklin III, illustration by Peter Bergting. For this, we get presented with a brand new creature or monster. As you can guess from the title, it's called a Webbered, and it's a tiny aberration with a CR of 1/2. I love this because you can't find very many low-level aberrations out there. The Webbered's most distinct feature is to embed their eggs anywhere from 2 to 8 at a time into helpless victims. The eggs eventually hatch, allowing grubs to begin to eat the victim from the inside, dealing 1 hit point per grub per turn until the host dies. Once the host is dead, the grubs mature into adult Webbereds. Aside from being a very interesting and deadly low-level opponent, the format that the information is presented in is very nice. While it's very similar to the format of the Monster Manual 4, the fact that there is just one monster in the magazine makes it seem just right. It feels like a miniature ecology article. it would be out of place in a monster manual. I much prefer my manuals to have at most one page devoted per monster. But in the confines of a magazine such as it is, it works very nicely. The map of mystery this month, unfortunately not a tactical map, but is still quite a good depiction of a forest metropolis. Trevanthal, Elven Forest Sanctuary, is depicted. My first thought when seeing this map was that I was looking at a rendition of Kelithin, the Wood Elf City, from the MMORPG EverQuest. I'll be willing to bet that EverQuest very easily could have been some of the inspiration for this map, along with the Wookiee and Ewok cities from the various Star Wars movies. Moving on. We have the first of the three adventures in the magazine, The Atomic Hound, by James LaFond Sutter, the assistant editor of Dungeon, with illustration by Julie Dixon and cartography by Rob Lazzaretti. It's set in an urban or temperate setting and intended for four fourth-level characters. Wow, what can I say? This is just a really good adventure. Mr. Sutter must have seen an advanced copy of this month's Dungeon Craft because he definitely put Mr. Bauer's advice into the Automatic Hound. The adventure begins with the small hamlet of Dramsburg. The citizens of the town have been haunted for the past several nights by a creature from the nearby forest. The PCs are asked to hunt down this beast and make the hamlet safe again, but what happens when killing the beast doesn't stop it? If nothing else, the flavor text for this adventure from the cover of Dungeon should be enough to entice any GMs to run this game. Grave robbing. Is it the only way? As always, I like to point out when Dungeon presents info on new items or creatures. In this adventure, we have a CR6 outsider, a spirit of the wild, an animal that calls the Beastlands or any equivalent planar locale home. The second adventure, In the Shadows of Spine Castle, by Stephen S. Greer and Gary Hollian, illustrated by Udon, with cartography by Rob Lazzaretti. The setting is urban dungeon crawl, and is set in the Greyhawk campaign setting. This adventure provides what is essentially a mini backdrop article for the city of Spine Castle. The city itself, being in the Greyhawk campaign setting, is roughly 975 miles northeast of the Free City of Greyhawk in the Bone March. The PCs are hired to find out what's happened to a spy within the walls of Spine Castle. The spy's employer is worried that there has been no information in quite some time. The 10th chapter of the Savage Tide Adventure Path, Wells of Darkness, is a planar adventure for 18th level characters, written by Eric L. Boyd, illustrated by Ben Wooten and Warren Mahey, and cartography by Rob Lazzaretti. In this installment of the Savage Tide, the PCs already know that Demogorgon is behind the Savage Tide, and that there is no way that they can cover the globe in enough time to collect all of the Shadow Pearls before the tide is unleashed. The PCs also learned last month that the person who knows the key to defeating Demogorgon is his prior consort, Shami Amore, the Lady of Debased Eros. But the minor demon lord is currently trapped in one of the Wells of Darkness. The PCs are tasked with getting Shami Amore to tell them Demogorgon's weakness. But first, the PCs need to find a way to get to the Wells of Darkness, gain entrance, and then bargain with the Keeper of the Wells to gain Shami Amore's freedom, the only way she'll tell the group what they want to know. In this adventure, there are three new items: the long-lost 7th copy of the Demonomicon of Igwiliv, the Tooth of Shami Amore, and the tripartite amulet of the hive mind. The tooth allows the wearer to use suggestion 3 times a day. The amulet is a set of 3 that generates a hive mind between the 3 wearers, and the Demonomicon is fully covered in Dragon 336. There is also, for any fans of Pact Magic from the Tome of Magic, a new vestige. It's a 3rd-level vestige with some of its abilities being immunity from soul-affecting spells and blind sense. Overall, the magazine was very much worth the price, with most of the articles being of good or great quality. Definitely worth picking up if you're a DM. This, was written by William Paul, reporting for the Tome. Another great review from William. He's already told me that he's in the works recording the next issue of Dungeon Review. So look forward to hearing that very soon out the door here. And that basically concludes the Dungeon & Dragon Magazine episode, episode 21. Don't forget to get your submissions into the summer contest and win some of those awesome prizes that I discussed earlier. As always, I urge and welcome listeners to help the show in any way you can. One of the best ways is to participate. Send in your emails or audio comments to thetomeshow@gmail.com. Or let me know if you're interested in reporting for the show regularly. You can also instant message me, join the Tome Yahoo group, leave an audio message, or call the Tome hotline from your phone. You can also dig the show at dig.com, vote for us at Podcast Alley, or leave an iTunes review. All of these things help the show get noticed, and I really appreciate that. All of these things can be found on the website at www.thetomeshow.com. This has been episode 21, Dungeon & Dragon Magazine of...
The Tome.